Good afternoon again. Welcome to a session on influenza vaccination of healthcare personnel policies and progress. I'm Ray Strickus from the Immunization Services Division at CDC. I will remind us all that the Hippocratic Oath says, among many other things, healthcare workers should do no harm to their patients. Vaccination of healthcare personnel is one way to both protect yourself and protect your patients and do no harm. Vaccination rates against influenza among healthcare personnel have slowly risen in the United States from 20% about 20 years ago to 52% about 1 year ago. However, the Healthy People 2020 target is 90%. Now, there are many programs, hospitals and other healthcare programs in the country that have achieved 80% or better coverage, some using mandatory participation or declination forms, others using mandates. So there are a variety of approaches at work. Today we're going to talk about standard setting and measurement from two perspectives, one from a state health department perspective and one from that of the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations. Our first speaker is Trish McClendon. She has worked as an epidemiologist in the California Healthcare Associated Infections, or HAI, program for more than 3 years. Tricia manages the Healthcare Personnel Influenza Vaccination Surveillance System, the HAI program, and analyzes these surveillance data. She was the primary author of both reports the HAI program has produced from this surveillance system. The first is influenza vaccination among employees in California General Acute Care Hospitals for 2008-2009 respiratory season, and the second is influenza vaccination among employees of California General Acute Care Hospitals for 2009 and 2010. She will cite the website where you can see these reports during her presentation. She was also the epidemiologist for the pilot study their HAI program conducted to develop California's 2010-2011 influenza vaccination declination surveillance form for general acute care hospitals. Let's welcome Tricia McClendon.
Thank you. the clicking the mouse button is not advancing the slides. Try it now. Oh, down arrow. Okay. Oh, there we go. So maybe don't use the mouse. Okay. In September of 2006, California became the first state to offer free vaccine to all, to pass a mandate, that general acute care hospitals offer free vaccine to all employees, and for those that refused, they had to sign a declination form. Hospitals were also required to report to CDPH on vaccination of all healthcare personnel and on their implementation of the CDC recommendations for influenza vaccination of healthcare personnel. Today I will provide a very brief background on influenza, since I'm sure many of you have already heard a lot about influenza over the past 2 days. I will also discuss vaccination of healthcare personnel and barriers and strategies to vaccinating healthcare personnel. I'd also like to discuss mandatory policies, and I will review the definition of healthcare personnel and what we actually used in California, and then I'll give some insight in our experience in California. Seasonal influenza is a significant cause of morbidity and mortality in the elderly, young children, and in persons with underlying medical conditions. Healthcare personnel are an important source of transmission in the healthcare setting, especially because they tend to work when they are ill, and they may have asymptomatic infection and convalescent viral shedding. In April 2009, a novel influenza A virus, H1N1, was first identified in California. The symptoms were similar to seasonal influenza, except the hospitalization rates were highest in children less than 4 years of age, mortality was highest among persons 50 to 64 years of age, and illness was less frequent in persons more than 50 years of age. Evidence of transmission in healthcare settings was reported in the emergency department, in intensive care units, and in other patient care areas. Additionally, there was a vaccine shortage early in the season, which may have impacted vaccination coverage of healthcare personnel. Influenza vaccination of healthcare personnel is highly effective, and it should be simple. It's also safe and cost-effective. The Healthy People 2010 target was 60%, and the 2020 target, as Dr. Strickis mentioned, is 90%. But most importantly, the target during a pandemic should be 100%, so that healthcare personnel are available to care for people when they are ill during a pandemic. Despite all this, national rates remain low at about 40%, although I guess last year they were close to more than 50%. So why is influenza vaccination coverage low among healthcare personnel? Well, not all healthcare personnel are actually offered free vaccination in their healthcare facility, and not all of them have access to vaccination, whether or not it's free. Healthcare personnel also have a perceived low risk of infection from influenza and severe illness from influenza. Healthcare personnel also believe that vaccination may not be effective or that it's not safe and actually may cause influenza or adverse effects. Some healthcare personnel have a fear of needles, and some generally oppose vaccination. So some strategies to address these barriers to increase influenza vaccination of healthcare personnel are for healthcare facilities to offer free, accessible vaccine, offering vaccination during all shifts, using mobile carts, during vaccination clinics and in congregate areas have been shown to increase healthcare personnel influenza vaccination. Also providing education that's mandatory, that addresses the risk of severe illness to healthcare personnel and addresses the risk of transmission to their patients and family is a successful strategy. Most education included in influenza vaccination programs at healthcare facilities also includes information to address healthcare personnel concerns regarding safety and helps those who oppose vaccine understand more information about influenza vaccination. But this usually has limited effects, on changing these concerns. Also, for healthcare personnel who have a fear of needles, if they are eligible, they can receive vaccination through the live attenuated influenza vaccine. Other strategies that have been successful components of vaccination programs in hospitals, including tracking vaccination coverage by unit or patient care area and promoting competition between units and between these areas. Also offering incentives at the individual or unit-based level can be a successful component. And then also support by hospital administration by providing resources to influenza vaccination programs and receiving vaccination in public and just in overall supporting influenza vaccination among their employees and healthcare personnel. And then just to review some of the mandatory policies to increase influenza vaccination, there's mandatory sign declination, which has standard language. There's usually a standard form, and it provides a disincentive for healthcare personnel to decline. Mandatory participation is another strategy where declination is enforced with masks or reassignment to non-patient care areas, and then mandatory vaccination where refusal is enforced with termination. This is a sample of a declination form that we offer to hospitals in California. They're not required to use this, but it is a sample that we provide. It gives some basic facts about influenza, and then it has language, the highlighted portion, that discusses the risk of transmission of infection and then also the risk of complications, including death, to their patients, their coworkers, their family, and their community. Overall, though, it's still unclear whether mandatory sign declination is a successful strategy to improve influenza vaccination coverage of healthcare personnel. There are a few published studies, and they have mixed results. Some studies show that in combination with other strategies, mandatory sign declination has increased vaccination of healthcare personnel, while other studies have shown that effective coverage can be achieved without mandatory sign declination. But the bottom line is that most studies indicate that it may not be effective as a standalone strategy. So I'd like to shift the focus a little bit to one of the main issues regarding vaccinating healthcare personnel, and that's determining who they are. And this slide actually shows the CDC definition for healthcare personnel, which, as you can see, is very comprehensive. but it may not be easy to determine who should actually be included in this group. And the other thing that I'd just like to note is that about 10 to 20% of healthcare personnel in a healthcare facility are not actually paid by the facility. So the main components of healthcare personnel are that it's all staff that work in a healthcare setting. They may be paid or unpaid. They all have the potential for exposure to infectious materials or agents. And whether someone is included or counted as healthcare personnel is regardless of their direct patient contact. Now, in California, we decided that while there's nothing wrong with the CDC definition, we actually needed some clarification for purposes of public reporting in order to meet our mandate. So we added these components. We decided that healthcare personnel needed to be a mutually exclusive group from employees paid by the hospital. And while they may be paid or unpaid, their status is that they're paid by another entity, such as a contract or registry agency. And we started using the term non-employee healthcare personnel to try and distinguish them from paid employees. So just to go over some California demographics, we have a population of about 37.3 million. We have 423 acute care hospitals, 348 of which operate under a single license. The remaining 75 or so are multi-campus licenses, and these actually come about when a hospital system purchases multiple hospitals in a small geographic location or slightly larger one, depending on where you are, and then consolidates them to operate under one license. So the total number of licensed beds is 71,184. Of those, ICU beds are about 6,200, and NICU beds are about 3,600. We have 3.7 million discharges per year and an average length of stay of 4.3 days. This slide shows seasonal influenza vaccination coverage of healthcare personnel in California and the United States. The yellow bar represents the United States from 2005 to 2009, and for California, it's the 3 years worth of influenza vaccination data that we've collected since our mandate was put into law in 2007. So we can see that the rates show modest increases over the past three seasons in California. And I also forgot to indicate that the green bar at 60% is the Healthy People 2010 target, and then of course the 2020 target at 90%. And you can see in the 2009-2010 season that California actually met the Healthy People 2010 target of 60%. But if we look at the red bars that indicate the range of percentages that are reported by hospitals to the CDPH, we see that there's a wide variability for hospitals that report. And even for the 2009-2010 season, we have many that are well under the 60% target. And so the way that we actually look at the target is that it should be a minimum of 60% of healthcare personnel in each hospital should be vaccinated against influenza, not an average of all hospitals, as is shown here. So I'd like to give a little bit more detail about the past 3 years where we've been collecting and hospitals have been reporting their surveillance data. Mandated annual reporting was actually to begin on January 1st of 2008. So it was the first year that hospitals had to report their data to CDPH. It was the middle of the influenza season, and hospitals may not have actually had data collection systems in place to provide these data. They were required to report on employees only. Healthcare personnel were not included as a mutually exclusive category. The mean vaccination for employees was 52%, and their response was 69%. For 2008-2009, our advisory committee decided to recommend that hospitals include healthcare personnel when they reported data to the CDPH. But even among the advisory committee, there was some confusion between the distinction of employees and healthcare personnel. And so when CDPH put out the report form, they used the CDC definition that I showed earlier. And hospitals, of course, were confused about who should be included where and how they should be counted. And additionally, many hospitals did not keep records on non-employee healthcare personnel. The mean vaccination was 55%, and the response was 84%. This was probably due to the fact that hospitals had had more than a year to prepare, and they'd had a little bit of experience with providing the previous year data, and then CDPH actually had more time to provide instructions on how to report and to notify and remind hospitals that they needed to report their data. For the 2009-2010 season, as I mentioned before, it was a pandemic year, and so there were two vaccines that were available. And hospitals were required to report their influenza vaccination surveillance data on both vaccinations for employees and for healthcare personnel. And the confusion with the distinction between employees and healthcare personnel persisted. So there were still some issues with the data. The mean vaccination for seasonal influenza was 63%, and for H1N1 it was 55%. The response was 82%, slightly lower than the previous year, most likely due to the fact that hospitals were responding to the pandemic. The unknown vaccination was 14% for seasonal and 17% for H1N1. And I'd like to just discuss the unknown vaccination status for a minute. Unknown vaccination status is kind of a mixed bag. Because there was confusion with employee and healthcare personnel and who should be counted where, we don't know who is actually included in the unknown status. You know, some of those people may actually have been vaccinated. Some may have been vaccinated elsewhere, and hospitals didn't have record of that because that's not something that we require hospitals to track. So there's just a lot of unknown about the unknown vaccination status group. The other piece of information that I gathered during the 2009-2010, or for that data, was when I was going through the quality control process, I spoke with all the hospitals that had influenza vaccination percentages of greater than about 70%, and five hospitals told me that they had mandatory participation policies in place where employees who had refused vaccination were required to wear a mask either while they were on shift or while they were in the hospital at any time or if they were doing direct patient care. And all these hospitals had vaccination percentages that were more than 80%. So in California, what is the impact of mandatory sign declination? Well, we saw modest increases for the 2007 to 2010 seasons for vaccination coverage of employees. And mandatory sign declination is actually only required for paid employees. It's not required for all healthcare personnel in the mandate. So for 2010-2011, based on the experiences that we'd have had over the previous 3 years, we decided we needed to pilot our surveillance report form. We decided to, of course, continue with capturing paid employees, and then our advisory committee decided that we needed to look at critical healthcare personnel groups first. And we had initially talked about trying to capture staff in patient care areas versus specific healthcare personnel groups. But the committee thought that because most hospitals have a medical staff office, that if any of them are keeping records on those staff, that these would be the three groups, the physicians, advanced practice nurses, and physician assistants, that they would have records on. And then we decided that in subsequent years we could add healthcare personnel groups and start collapsing categories so that we could get hospitals used to knowing who they needed to capture in their healthcare personnel, their non-employee healthcare personnel, and also to start figuring out how to put systems in place for getting data on these groups. We used a feedback questionnaire to get input from our pilot participants on the pilot surveillance form. So we recruited 21 randomly selected hospitals in our pilot plus our three correctional healthcare facilities, and 10 of the 24 hospitals actually submitted our feedback questionnaire. 90% or more of them said the form was easy to read with easy to follow instructions and definitions. 80% or more reported that the definitions were clear. However, 70 to 80% reported that data on non-employee healthcare personnel were not easy to collect, and more than half of pilot hospitals could not report data for non-employee healthcare personnel. And basically, this indicated to us that if the hospitals don't have access to the data or they don't collect the data, then no matter how well we try to define who the healthcare personnel are, they won't be able to report it if they don't have it. So this is what the bottom half of our 2010-2011 data collection form looks like. This is where we're getting the meat of our data. And down the left side where the rows are, we have paid employees, and then the three non-employee categories, the physicians, the advanced practice nurses, and the physician assistants. And then we also included volunteers. And then the vaccination status categories, which are the columns, are vaccinated by facility, vaccinated elsewhere, declinations, and unknown. And then the total column is the denominators. And we included all of the definitions at the bottom of the form. That's the really small print that you probably can't read. But one thing that we don't collect, because it's not required in California for us, for hospitals to report CDPH, is why someone declines and or if they have a medical contraindication. So trying to move forward with capturing influenza vaccination data on healthcare personnel, we realized that clear definitions for healthcare personnel groups are required. But again, we realized that if a hospital doesn't or can't collect the data, then they can't report it to us, no matter how clear the definitions are. Also, electronic vaccination surveillance is necessary in order to help hospitals better collect and report these data to CDPH. Mandatory signed declination can be used as an adjunct strategy, but may not be effective as a standalone strategy. And finally, alternative strategies to achieve the 2020 target of 90% should be considered, such as mandatory participation in vaccination policies. And I just want to mention that California is actually a pilot state in two national pilot projects. The first one is developing a national quality measure for healthcare personnel influenza vaccination, and then the second one is actually testing that national quality measure as an NHSN surveillance module. So we're actually participating in the projects that are moving toward electronic surveillance of healthcare vaccination of healthcare personnel. And then here is our website in case you're interested in getting more information on our data and the two reports that Dr. Strickas mentioned in the introduction. Those are both there. We also have our data collection form for 2010-2011 and some of the draft forms that we provided to hospitals, including the declination form and some other forms on there. And then there's my email, and if you'd like to send me an email. Thank you very much.